Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. Hear the word of the Lord. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all the peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces and the disgrace of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Our New Testament lesson comes from the Gospel of John, John 20, verses 1 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one on the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to the Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, on this Easter Sunday, we come before you and we listen. We listen to how you are calling to us, to all the many ways you are leading us and guiding us to be your people. We ask that your word would light our paths and guide our hearts. May your word light the darkness that surrounds us. And may we live into the gospel, the good news, and be able to tell with confidence the story of the resurrection. In your name we pray. Amen. A happy Easter to you all today. Today is the day of resurrection. Today is the day where we celebrate Christ rising from the dead and that the tomb which held him is empty. But today isn't just about Christ rising from the dead. I mean, it's a pretty earth-shattering and amazing thing, isn't it? But Christ also raised others from the dead. But this moment ratchets things up because this isn't Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. This is Jesus raising himself from the dead. Today, the tomb which held him, which held the hope of the world, is now empty. And Christ, in a singular act of power and authority, has shown the greatness that was held in the tomb. But greater still in this moment is what it means for us that Christ rose from the dead. Because today is a day where all the tension, all the waiting, all the sadness, all of the being held together in a moment has been released. Sadness is transformed on this day into joy. There should be a tangible feeling of release in our world and in our lives when we celebrate today. Today should feel like that day in school when all the papers and exams have been handed in, when all of a sudden everything is let go. I remember in seminary, in college, and even in high school, that feeling as exams were coming closer. Everyone was on edge. Everyone was filled with anxiety and tension. I remember working in the seminary library around paper time and exam time. When you had to close down for the night, people didn't call you any four-letter words, but I'm sure many of them thought them as you asked them, it's time to go home, it's time to leave. People were not happy. But then came the exam day. Then came the day when papers were in, exams were handed in, and all of a sudden, everyone was filled with joy. Everyone had felt that release of the tension. This is also a season of released tension. Think about it. We've spent all winter cooped up watching snowflakes continually fall and fall and fall. We've shoveled snow. We haven't seen the color green very much this year. But then we have weeks like last week, like this week. I've spent a lot of time going out on the rail trail over the last week and a half. I've been able to sit with my Boba Fett coffee mug, taking a sip and looking out at the buds on the trees. The flowers of the forsythia bushes are starting to pop. We have the world springing to new life at the same time as we celebrate the new life that we have in Christ. But it took time to get here. It took Christ's time to get there. Christ promised 3 days and he would rise again. He didn't just hop down off the cross and say, well, there, let's get on to business. No, Christ dies, goes in the tomb, is in the tomb for 3 days, and then comes the resurrection. It's not a quick wham, bam moment. It's very drawn out. It's very steady. It's almost as if the story of the resurrection and the trickle of information, the trickle of everything, deals with that trickle of time that goes past. It's as if everyone has been waiting, waiting with bated breath, waiting for Christ to rise, hoping that the promise of the resurrection will be true. But that comes in stark contrast. That promise of Christ, that promise of the resurrection, stood in contrast to what people had experienced in life and what they knew. Think about it. All our lives, we know that death exists. All our lives, we know what death is. All his disciples' lives, they have seen death take friends, family, relatives. And they saw their Lord die on the cross. They have the problem, they have a tension within them, tension of what was promised against what they knew. It's a contrast. What we fail to acknowledge often is that we see the story play out. We've seen how the story ends. But the disciples, the followers of Christ, Mary, the 12, everyone who followed, everyone who scattered, in this moment has that tension of what was promised against what they've experienced their whole lives. What was known faced off against what was hoped for. The hope of what might be, what could be the people of God, what could happen, was held in tension with what people had experienced. We know often in our lives what we have experienced and what we hope for. We see those battles play out. I remember back in 2016, there was this great several months of tension between what was known and what was experienced and what was hoped for. As Sarah and I, after losing our son Luca, waited months for Barbara to be born. We waited and we waited and we waited, and every minute felt like an eternity, because until that day when we had her in our arms, what we knew stood in tension with the hope that could be. And then came the release, the joyful release of that tension giving way to the hope that was. You see, we see that tension and joy meeting as Mary runs to Peter and the disciple Jesus loved. We see that same tension and joy competing as Peter and the disciple run. Peter, not as well as the other disciple, run to the tomb and look in. We see that tension as Mary sees the tomb empty and still assumes that what she knows is what is and not what is hoped for, as she naturally assumes that he has been robbed from the grave. Now, it's easy to look back on scripture with 2021 hindsight. It's easy for us to look, knowing about the Emmaus Road, the upper room, not the publication, but the event, the ascension, and all that is still to come. We know how the story plays out. We know about the time when Thomas, who misses seeing Jesus that first time, demands to see the holes in his side and hands. We know all of that, but Mary, Peter, and the other disciple, they are in the moment, in the struggle of hope and what they've experienced. They are shaken, not just that day, but over the past few days. It takes time for them to get there, time to understand and see what has happened. But they have patience in that moment. But see, in that moment, when hope is realized, when that reality of hope is acknowledged, all of a sudden, Mary is off like a shot to go tell the disciples exactly what Jesus has said. When things fall into place, when she understands, she goes and does. She follows Christ's command. Today's most basic of lessons is so simple. It's the lesson that is taught to us by so many easy, easy ways. Today we see the amazing moments of our Lord rising from the tomb, rising from the dead. We see Mary seeing the tomb, and then when things fall into place, when she understands what is going on, she is going and doing and following Christ's command. There isn't this moment of pause for her. It's an emergency type of situation for her to go and do. This isn't a, well, let me take a second, mark my book, and then I'll get to it. This is not a, let me plug in my phone and I will get around to it. This is moving. This is immediate. This isn't like when Liam says, can I do it in a little bit when I'm done with this or that? This isn't one of those moments. This is important. This is an immediate needing of response. You see, the challenge of Easter isn't just the joy of today, the joy of Christ rising from the dead and the hope that we have in that. It is also in the joy that we go and listen and do. Think about that. Think about what Mary does in that moment. All that she does. She goes and does. When she goes and experiences the Lord risen from the grave, risen from the dead, she cannot contain that knowledge. She cannot contain her understanding of what has happened. So she goes and tells the disciples. Mary can't hold back. She can't tap the brakes, slow down. She can't pause, because this is the moment for her. This is the moment of Christ being alive, promising that his triumph over death and sin has come to fruition. This is the moment, and Mary won't slow down. Brothers and sisters, the lesson that is modeled for us today is how can we respond to the good news, to the joy of Christ in a way like Mary? How can we be joyful? How can we go and tell of what Christ has done? How can we share the joy of this moment? Brothers and sisters, as we go forth, may we boldly, lovingly, Tell of the good news. Tell of the good news that Christ is risen, that Christ has triumphed over the dead. And Christ has joined us to his kingdom. In his name we pray. Amen.